Okay, are we ready? Got 300 people on already.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining PGCA's Teletown Hall with our coronavirus updates. It's updates to changes in our workflow. If you have any questions throughout the Teletown Hall, please feel free to press 9 on your phone, and then an operator will take your question, and you'll be patched through when it is time to take questions. Thank you.
Good evening, those of you that are on the line that can hear me. This is PGCA President Teresa Dudley, and we are sort of waiting as we call through everyone. As of right now, we have 450 participants on the line, and we are calling out to over 7,000 members. So we're just going to give the computer an opportunity to get us moving. I want to thank everyone for all of their who's on the line and listening, for being attentive. We are going to be doing some polling questions throughout this Teletown Hall. We have some great participants from Prince George's County School System, including our CEO, Dr. Monica Golson. And as we get closer to having all of our calls made and getting people on the line, we will go ahead with introductions. In the meantime, I do want to share with you that PGCEA offices are closed, our physical office. However, we are teleworking. Our staff is teleworking 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. If you call PGCEA during the day, beginning on Monday, you will talk to a live and breathing person. We have our phone calls being forwarded to our receptionist, Lauren, and she will give you answers some of your questions as to who you need to talk to and forward your information to. Oh, guess what? I'm getting a call for me to join the call. Isn't that hilarious? So I'm going to decline that one. So I know it's working. At least we got to the D's already. So we are always available online through www.pgcea.org. But most importantly, if you have a question that you would like to submit for us to find out an answer to, first thing you should do is, if you hear something, you have a question, is ask your administrator in the building first. And then if you think that it's something that you're not getting the right answer to, or you feel like you would like to have it clarified through from a negotiated agreement point of view, please contact PGCEA at contacts@pgcea.org. So the dialing is finished, and right now we have approximately 1,850 participants on the line. I want to take a moment and thank the PGCEA Board of Directors who voted on Monday to have this teleconference call. Our PGCEA board members include Yvonne Basich, our vice president, Donna Christie, our treasurer, Annette Jones, Michelle Clark, Felix Lazaro, Zena Whitworth, Donna Yearwood, Suzanne Windsor, and Sheena Washington. So I want to thank all of my board members, all of our board members, for having the vision of having this Teletown Hall tonight. So as was stated a few moments ago, if you have a question, to raise your hand, all you have to do is press 9. And we have some people working the phone, and they will take your question and place it in the in a queue. And I can see on my screen here how many questions we have. And what we're going to do is make sure that we don't keep asking the same questions over and over again. And so we're also going to make sure that the sound quality is good because it would just make things awful. So I want to thank you, and I'm going to ask you to make sure that you phrase your question in the form of a question. We all know what interrogatives are. So with all of that being said, I want to thank you all for being on the phone, those of you who just jumped on. We now have 2,560 participants. I would like to introduce our guests that we have here today with us. Along with myself, I have on the line Dr. Monica Golson, our CEO. I also have Dr. Gwendolyn Mason, who is the Director of Student Services, Dr. Judith White, who is the Director of Curriculum and Instruction, and Dr. Helen Coley, Chief of Support and School Leadership. So having said that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Before I turn it over to Dr. Golson, do we have the first polling question ready? I'm not seeing anything. Do we have the first polling question ready? Maybe?
Yes.
Okay. All right, the first polling question is, are you receiving the Newsette? That's our weekly newsletter. At your home email address every Sunday after 3 p.m. Yes, press 1. No, press 2. And please sign me up to receive information, press 3. The question is, are you receiving the Newsette at your home email address every Sunday after 3 p.m.? Yes. Press 1, 2, press 2, and 3, please sign me up to receive information. I don't know if there's a 3 on here. It might be just 1 or 2. We'll give you those results when we finish. Dr. Golson?
Thank you, Hi. President Belli, for having me on today's Teletown Hall. I want to say welcome to our the PGCA members who are on the call tonight, and just say thank you for the 3 weeks that you have experienced being at home and away from your students. The 3 weeks feels almost like 6 weeks, but I thank you for your creativity and willingness to help to support as we move into a new phase of teaching and learning. As you are aware, we started this week with professional development and started on Wednesday, and have gotten feedback from the past 3 days, and we'll be adding some sessions next week and just looking at ways that we can continue to improve offering support for our teachers. Students turned in work this week as we close out third quarter, and we continue with putting in grades next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're off next Thursday, Friday, and Monday for a much-needed break, and then we start again on Tuesday, April 14th, with our new way of providing distance learning. Thank you all for the many emails I have gotten from so many of you, your creativity during this time, and just the desire to want to see other people's faces other than the ones that you have at home. The one question that I typically get a lot from is, will you continue to be paid after April 24th? And of course you will be. You have a contractual obligation to make sure that you continue to be paid and are able to support your family and are a viable part of our community and helping to make sure that our students continue to be educated. The reason I always say to the whatever the date that the governor has established is because I make the assumption that if we go back to school, go back in for a sense of normalcy, then that's a given. And so that is why when I make the statements, I use the last date that he says will return. This is my opportunity also to share with you, I find out information just like you do on the day that the governor says it at the same time. And so I know many times the governor will say something and you're waiting for a message from me. It takes a second for me to internalize what he said, to then seek laws, to review what he said, and then to converse with my team for us to determine all the ramifications and implications that happen from any decision that's made from the county, from the state, all the way down to the county level. So just know, please be patient with us. We're doing as best as we can in these unprecedented times. We started the laptop distribution this week, Wednesday through Friday. At one of our schools today, we distributed about 900 laptops in record time. I'm telling you, we probably could beat out Chick-fil-A now. But just know that we're doing our very best to kind of close the digital divide that exists in our community. And I don't have to remind you, we have 82,000 students who are on free and reduced meals, and many of them do not have technology and do not have access to Wi-Fi. So we've done a variety of things to try to get that to them. Step one was the laptop. Step two is I've reached out to Comcast and Verizon to see if we can pay for those students who are on free and reduced meals in order to support them so that there is no difference between what they receive and what someone else who can afford can. We also are using our hotspots at our schools and pointing them out into the public so that other people can access the Wi-Fi for free. I made a plea Wednesday in the county exec's press conference asking for businesses, nonprofits, and churches to do the same, to open up their Wi-Fi hotspots so that if you need access to Wi-Fi, you can access them from hopefully a business or location or organization that's near you. And then prior to this call, I received notification from the Information and Technologies Chief that we can potentially have hotspots not only in the 43 sites where we do meal distribution, but all of our high schools as well. And then lastly, I also provided President Dudley with the contact information for Comcast and Verizon so she can reach out to them to see if we can get an educator, if they will provide an educator discount for Wi-Fi as well. So without further ado, I'm going to turn this over to our Director of Curriculum and Instruction, who will kind of give an overview of what to expect when we start with students on April 14th. Know that if you need anything, I'm just an email away. Please feel free to send an email. I'm going to do my best this weekend to actually have a weekend. I didn't have one last weekend. So if I don't respond on Saturday or Sunday, know that I'll get to you on Monday. Dr. White.
Good evening, everyone. Hope that you've had a wonderful week as you participated in the trainings that Dr. Golson mentioned. You would have received during the week a teacher/school staff guidance for distance learning. And just a little bit about the document, you will notice that it was broken into pre-kindergarten, elementary, middle, high school, special education, professional school counselors, and psychological services. We made sure that we put links at the beginning so that you could go everywhere you needed to go in the document fairly easily. You will also now notice that on the first page highlighted, it says adjusted information. So note that anytime we make adjustments, as we're getting feedback and we're continuously updating this so you have the most relevant information, you will note now that in this guide, that information that is new will be highlighted yellow. Some of the things to notice for pre-kindergarten, your week is broken out. We know that you are cross-curricular, and so the lessons that and topics you receive will cover all the topics. For our elementary teachers, you will notice that on Mondays and Wednesdays, you will focus on mathematics and science, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you will focus on reading and social studies. For our elementary teachers and our pre-kindergarten teachers, you will both note that on Fridays, you will have electives. And then when we get down to middle school, it follows the same trend, except for middle schools, you will notice that throughout the week, Monday through Thursday, you will have reading language arts Monday, mathematics Tuesday, science on Wednesday, social studies on Thursday, and our electives are on Friday, making sure that in the four-week turnaround that each elective is taught at least once. Where we find a difference in that is when we move to high school. High school does look like middle school in terms of English on Monday, mathematics on Tuesday, science on Wednesday, social studies on Thursday, but on Friday in our high school, the students will have every elective that they may have in a typical week. Please note that now we've put language for teachers around and school staff around lunch guidelines for yourself and our students, and that we've also made sure that we included that between the hours of 9 to 1, when you are not engaged in working with your students or teaching a lesson, then that's when you, the office hours and your planning would occur. This document, again, will be updated, but those are the most important things for you to identify. If you go in, you'll notice that we have some directions for each level. We also put a note in today making sure that before you teach a lesson or that you engage with our students, that you either state or that you post on your lesson information about yourself being recorded and having consent. So that is new. So when you have an opportunity, please go in and review that again today. It's also important to note that the first week, next week, you will begin to reach out to your students. The first time you are engaging with your students, if you have not already engaged with them on an electronic platform, it's just to kind of set some rules of engagement so that they know to put the mute on, so that you welcome them. This is a totally different environment for all of us. We know how we've all been on all of these calls. So just making sure that your community with you and your students is one that is warm and welcoming and getting them excited about the way in which we will move over the next couple of weeks. Additionally, I wanted to share some information about grading. We know, as Dr. Golson mentioned, that we have concerns with all of our students being able to have equitable access. So as we move into fourth quarter, it's really difficult to look at equity across how we're trying to close that gap, which is why we are going to be moving to a pass and incomplete. So over the last week or so, you've heard through emails and through your school leadership us talking about the word exempt for any work that was not turned in. That would have been for third quarter only. Once we close third quarter and move into fourth quarter, we will be moving towards pass and incomplete. We acknowledge that some of our students will not be able to engage in the daily instructional plan. Some students are going to be doing the best they can to submit. So as educators, we want to really be flexible in how we assign work and how we assess work. It could be through discussion boards. It could be through a child having to send a picture of their work. And so those kind of scenarios create us also in a situation where we have to be flexible with passing and incomplete. So as you observe students doing their work and really participating, you want to really think about the passing for them. And we know the incomplete are students who we may not hear from, who turn nothing in. For any student, as you set up beginning April 14th, and you don't hear from that student, they haven't made a connection at all, those are the families that you want to reach out to see if there's, what's their circumstances, what's the situation, to see how we can provide additional support for them. And we will continually, on our side, be processing along with you on how to assist those students. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. Yes.
Dr. White, I had two quick questions while you were on there, which are not on our list. And one is the concept of recording videos. Are educators allowed to use other viable options in lieu of videotaping themselves, i.e. using Khan Academy or Discovery Education videos?
So if they do, one of the things that I know one of the platforms that they learned about this week is Screencastify, because we, or finding a way through a PowerPoint presentation, if you draw in that content, where you can explain to the students why. That could even be through your live discussion of, we're going to watch a video, we're going to chunk it, we're going to talk through. But we absolutely encourage the use of other platforms that align to the instructional focuses that were provided to teachers. We also know that some teachers have already been communicating through Class Dojo and other methods. So the ones that we provided this week were not to take away from what some teachers have already been doing with their students, but was to provide a baseline of something that everyone could use.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you finished, Dr. White, so we can move on to Dr. I believe we have, thank you, Dr. White. We have the results of our first poll, and 76% of you are receiving the news at home, 24% are not. Those of you that do not, have not been receiving the news at, check your spam folder, first of all. And then if it's not in your spam folder, please send an email to contacts@pgcea.com. so we can verify that we have the correct email address, personal email address for you. Our second polling question is, I believe they're getting ready to put it up in front of me, about the internet, and I'm going to hold on that one and allow for Dr. Gwen. Well, the one I have right now is, are you a special educator? If you are a special educator, press 1. For 1 for elementary, 2 for middle, 3 for high, and 4 for no. You're not a special educator. So if you are a special educator, if you are elementary, press 1. If you are middle, press 2. If you are high school, press 3. And if you are not a special educator, even though we all know we are trained in it a little bit, press 4. Thank you very much. Dr. Mason.
Yes, again, good afternoon, everyone. This is Gwendolyn Mason, Chief of Special Education and Student Services. I want to thank everyone again for this opportunity. I hope that you are all doing extraordinarily well during these times. I will also want to thank you very much for many of the questions that you've asked prior to this Teletown opportunity, because it indicates your commitment to understanding what your responsibilities are as it relates to students with disabilities, as well as the provision of services under student services as well. This week, we have trained a total of 2,000 individuals to understand the continuity of learning plans as it relates to students with disabilities. Our Director of Special Education, Trinelle Bowman, and her team, I felt, did an excellent job in providing you with information that helps you to understand how you, as a part of the plan that was just described by Dr. Judy White, play an integral role in helping to ensure that our students receive access to instruction as it relates to their IEP and their needs. One of the critical questions that has been asked repeatedly are deadlines and compliance timelines. What are our expectations? And so on yesterday, April the 2nd, a memorandum was sent to all principals. The memorandum delineates the guidance that we are providing for you as teachers, as related service providers, as school psychologists, and those who are counselors who serve students with disabilities. I'll say very, very briefly that we recognize that due to the closure, there are things that we will not be able to do. And I believe today in today's training you had an opportunity to review some of those things, but I'll say it very quickly. We will not be proceeding with annual review meetings or reevaluation meetings because our school system does not have the capacity to access records, conduct observations, complete formal evaluations, which require face and direct time with students to be able to complete those tasks. This aligns also with the guidance from MSDE. If a school system is unable to do those particular things, then a school system is not committed to go forward. And we will be working with our schools, once schools reopen, to look at how we will help in supporting getting those meetings scheduled, because we know that, of course, when we have to delay, it will require the opportunity to revise the entire process so that we can move forward with our students. We're only asking, however, for meetings that were supposed to have been held during the week of March 16th and the week of March 23rd, that we are only going to do initial eligibility meetings. That means those are meetings where teams were already ready and prepared with all of their reports, all of their data, so that they could, in fact, find a student eligible for special ed services. We believe that this meeting is critical because there are students that we want to make sure that they are properly identified and that they can then also participate in the continuity of learning plan with goals and objectives that will help them during this particular period in time. As it relates to Medicaid billing, we are in the process of gathering more information and insight regarding that. Congress just passed legislation approximately 3 weeks ago that finally permits services to allow for billing for Medicaid, but I have to get more guidance on that, so more information will be coming forth in that area. And then finally, SIT and SST meetings will not be conducted, because we, again, do not have access to all of the resources, information, and tools that will enable us to engage in a meaningful conversation about our students. So those are some of the key and high-level elements as it relates to special education and student services.
So, Dr. Mason, I just have a quick question for you. And I could have very well missed this in your conversation as you were going, but the concept of students whose 504 plans and IEPs are expiring this year, they will be extended for another year, or we're still waiting?
We have not received any federal guidance about the extension of an IEP. We anticipate that when schools reopen, maybe by that time, we will have more federal guidance. But our intent is to make sure that once schools reopen, we work with schools to assist in getting meetings arranged so that we can move forward to support, you know, our students. But the federal government to date has not issued any guidance with regard to any extensions or any waivers under IDEA. So we'll wait for further guidance when that comes.
Okay, and for those of you that are on the line, I want to thank you. We have the results of our special educator. Are you a special educator? 22% said that they were elementary, 10% middle, 7% high, and 60% said no. However, 40% of our callers today are special educators, and I want to give a special shout-out to them. There's a special place in heaven for special educators. I'd like to move on to Dr. Helen Coley. Dr. Coley, are you there?
I'm here. Good afternoon, everyone. How are you? Hoping everyone is well.
Good afternoon. Big and loud, Dr. Coley, big and loud.
All right. I thank you so much for this opportunity. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes. Oh, Dr. Coley, okay. Bear with me 1 second. Do you have the next polling question is, do you have internet access at your primary residence? Yes is one, two is no. The question again, do you have internet access at your primary residence? Yes is one and two is no. Sorry, Dr. Coley, thank you for participating.
That's okay, thank you. I'm glad to be a part of this conversation this afternoon. I want to begin by thanking you and team members that we were able to speak to last Friday, prior to finalizing the draft form at that time of the distance learning plan sent out last week, well, the beginning of this week. I want to thank you. I look forward to us having those same types of opportunities, and I really would like to suggest that after the first week that we reconvene or make plans to reconvene during at the conclusion of the first week around April the 17th, so we can determine if there are any needed next steps with regard to what has been implemented during that first week. I realize that questions may continue to occur, and conversations with the associate superintendent principals are continuing to share with them questions that have been provided by our classroom teachers and PGCA member support with regard to making this process as seamless as possible. I know that many have also asked if there will be any remaining professional development opportunities next week. And, yes, there will be additional professional development opportunities that will, in fact, occur next week. With regard to, can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you. It's been a little fuzzy for a second, but I can hear you good now.
Okay, sorry about that. Now, I do want you to know that it may be necessary for principals to continue to have meetings with staff members. The expectation is that those meetings do occur between the hours of 9 and 1. I know many teachers as well have engaged in opportunities in collaborating with their colleagues. All work, colleagues, should be done between the hours of 9 and 1 because I recognize as well as many of you are home now, not only as teacher but also as parents with your children. So we certainly understand that, and we definitely want to be able to support you in whatever way possible. We are continuing, we meaning myself and the associate superintendents, are continuing to conversate daily, almost sometimes within hours, so that we can continue to expedite this work well
and that we're able to honor any questions that you have with respect to this being implemented with ultimate fidelity. We thank you so much for your diligence. It was amazing to see the number of students and their parents that were showing up at our site these last 3 days to receive the Chromebooks. So we thank you as well in advance of next week. We thank you for what you've done this week with respect to the training, closing out the grades. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Coley. The results of our poll, we had 94% of our members who said that, yes, they have Internet access at their residence. 6% said no. And I will share with you in a moment what we can do, what we're planning on that. I would like to take a moment and go to our first question from Christy Lynch. Christy, are you on the line? You have to unmute yourself. All right. For some reason, Christy is not on the line right now, but I will pose a question to make sure that we have clarity around this. Christy?
I'm here. Got it.
Okay. Would you like to go ahead and ask your process question?
Yes. So good evening, everyone, and thank you for taking my call. I have a question about the procedure moving forward with regard to receiving input from our members as it relates to this distance learning. And, you know, I'm pleased that we had the opportunity for Dr. Golson and her team to meet with our negotiations team very briefly last Friday before this was rolled out. But I'd like to get a clear understanding of the commitment towards moving forward with this collaborative work. We know there's a lot of anxiety, and right now people are feeling quite overwhelmed because it's a crash course in distance learning. So what kind of commitment are we looking forward to in working with PGCEA and a PGCPS as a team to help this move forward smoothly?
Thank you.
Hello, this is thank you for that question. This is Helen Coley again. I am sharing with you, as previously indicated, I want this collaboration to continue. In order for us to get this work right, it is a must. That is the reason why I've indicated that April the 17th, if it works well for those individuals that we spoke to last Friday, will be the date that we come back and reconvene and talk about what has occurred and talk about some essential next steps as we move forward.
Thank you very much for that response. And I would ask that as we move forward, that we definitely include related services in the conversation. Dr. Coley, as the original plan that we saw did not have the related services in there. So we look forward to that work product.
We'll be done.
Okay. Do I have my next poll question ready, or am I going right to call? I guess I'm going right to calls here. I'm looking at caller. Let's see. Richard Brown from Samuel Massey. Richard Brown from Samuel Massey.
Bueno.
Hi, Richard. Are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
It's not me.
Hi, Richard. What's your question?
Yes, ma'am. I have a parent that reached out to me on yesterday. She has come to the school to get a Chromebook, but she does not have internet access or Wi-Fi, and I was trying to get the answer to respond to her to resolve this issue.
Thanks for asking that question. Let the parent know that we'll be reaching out to parents who do not have internet access with the information that they will need to connect. We were trying to do this in phases, so we did laptops first. We will work on distributing the codes to those parents next week, so you can let her know we'll be reaching out soon. She can also send an email to her principal to let the principal know that she's in need of Wi-Fi code once we distribute it. Thank you.
Okay. Our next polling question is concerning observations, and you have two choices. Have you finished all of your observations for the required year? If you completed everything you need for your evaluations, including your 4E. If you finished everything, press 1 for yes. If you have not completed everything, press 2 for no. And the question that goes along with that is, what will happen with evaluations for the next year? I believe that's a Dr. Golson question.
Yep, I'll take it. So for those people who answer number one, yes, that they've completed everything, great. We'll be able to close you out this year so that you will be back on cycle for the next time that you're up. For those who have not completed, we are waiting still to hear from Maryland State Department of Education. I'm sure we will have to begin the process again next year. But we're still waiting for direction.
Okay. Thank you so much. We're going to move really quickly to, I believe it's Elma. I understand that you have a great question about conditional teachers. Elma?
Yes, speaking.
Go ahead, Elma, with your question.
Good afternoon, everyone. I have a conditional license, and it will end on June 30. I am required to take 12 courses, and I enrolled it right now. I have my online class in Trinity, and the 3 courses that I have will be face-to-face. I don't know if this will continue due to COVID. I enrolled it in MSDE. May I know if you will extend the contract of conditional teacher's license if these classes will be postponed?
Thank you, Elma. We get your question. Dr. Golson? Yep,
thanks for the question. Once again, we're waiting for direction from Maryland State Department of Education. It will be our expectation. One of the things we've requested is that we be allowed to extend it based on the fact that we've had COVID-19. How long will they allow us to extend, I don't know. Of course, I will be asking for a year extension, but I'm waiting to hear from them.
Thank you. I think I would like to go to Bianca Borkman. Bianca Borkman, I understand that you have quite a question about grading. Bianca Borkman, you have a question concerning grading?
Yes. Thank you for answering or attempting to answer my question. Good evening, everyone. So my question is in regards to what grades will teachers submit on a weekly basis for the fourth quarter. So if students do not submit their assignment, what grade goes into school max for those students?
Thank you. And I think this would probably be a good place to explain the difference between an exempt and a failing grade. I believe, is that Judith White would answer that one?
Sure. So when we use the term exempt in third quarter, we identify that students went home and some of the work teachers gave, they assigned work, and then some students worked in the enrichment packets. The enrichment packets at that moment in time were just additional work. They were not to be graded. As we ended third quarter, teachers received notification that had they given work that should have been graded, that they could accept the work back in, or if a student did not submit it, it would have been exempt. Now that teachers are closing out grade books, the word exempt was for third quarter only. As we move into quarter four, the grading will only be pass or incomplete. And we will make sure that we send out clarification on what and how the grade should look in school max and what that process will be. So that information will be forthcoming.
And will be included in the guide. It's already written, and we're including it today.
Okay. Thank you very much. In response to the poll concerning required observations for the year being finished, we had 35% of our respondents that said yes and 65% that said no. I'd like to go to Maria Guda for our last question for today. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain what the process is going to be. But this, Dr. Golson and her staff have to leave unless they're willing to stay. Dr. Golson, do you have a few more moments?
Unfortunately, we do our evening call to assess the day, and we're waiting to find out how many Chromebooks were distributed for today so we can recalibrate for next week. So I got a whole bunch of folks waiting on me on a call at 5:15.
Okay, so Dr. Golson, people will be able to pick up Chromebooks, the students will be able to pick up the Chromebooks next week if they didn't get them this week.
Yep, the principal will handle the distribution of those who went and they ran out. They have their names.
Okay. Maria? Guda?
Hello?
Go ahead, Maria, real quick.
Okay, I just wanted to say thank you for all the work that's being done. It's very, very obvious how hard everybody was working. I am a pre-K teacher, and I unfortunately, I do feel that we're sort of trying to be fit into this. We don't do as much technical type of computer kind of teaching and training and class Google Classrooms that other teachers do. And I was just, like, for example, I did take the training today, and our children don't even have PGCPS emails. My question is what if the teacher at home are having their own technical issues and not comprehending everything, or equipment issues? How do we, like, for example, my camera doesn't even work on my MacBook, and another friend, she was saying she could not even connect to the WebEx trainings. So I'm just wondering, how are we handling it or helping?
Maria?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you hear me? I think.
Yes, I can.
You have a lot of questions about pre-K, and the big question is about the platform and what platform have they come up with, pre-K teachers. And I believe pre-K falls under whom?
Dr. Gladys Whitehead. But if you can, President Dudley, make sure we get her email. We can then provide very specific information. Let me answer this for you. If you're having technical difficulties, our help desk is up and running. Please send an email to the help desk, and they will call and help walk you through. In addition, there are also sessions that are being held next week for those people who just kind of want to start from scratch, like who need a step-by-step. So if you could also send me an email at ceo@pgcps.org for the person who just spoke, and I'll connect you to someone who can do it step-by-step. And then pre-K, we realize that pre-K is very much hands-on. But because we're such a large school district, it is impossible for us to mail packets home to students for pre-K so that they could actually have manipulatives. So this is our gap, trying our very best to at least have some type of instruction for pre-K students.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate all of your time today, Dr. Golson, Dr. Mason, Dr. White, and Dr. Helen Coley. And we will look forward to getting this information out to our members. Is there anything you want to say in closing, Dr. Golson? But we are going to stay on the line for a few minutes, so I don't want everybody to drop off because we have some other things we want to share with you.
Yep, mine is just please be safe. I want to see every last one of you all when we get back. God bless.
Thank you for everything, Dr. Golson. We appreciate you. I'd like to keep our participants on the line for a few moments so that we can sort of circle back. I see a lot of you still have questions. If you have a question that you absolutely have to have answered today and you want to stay on the line, I will answer whatever questions that I can in the next couple of minutes. I do want to introduce Christy Anderson. Christy, are you on? She said
yes,
she was going to mute herself. Hi, Christy.
I did, but I'm how are you?
All right, good. Christy Anderson is our lawyer for our attorney for MSCA Legal. And we wanted to have her on because we wanted to make sure that we were having conversations that were meaningful about our negotiated agreement and what it means. So I want to wrap up and say that the online professional development completed, 75% said yes, 25% said no. The conditional educators that are on the line, we are waiting to find out what the state says about that. And if you want to, we can do another couple of polls that will help us get through this. The next poll is, how many months is your contract? If you're a 10-month employee, press 1. If you are an 11-month employee, press 11. If you are a 12-month employee, press 3. Once again, how many months is in your contract? If you are a 10-month employee, press 1. 11-month employees, press 2. And 12-month employees, press 3. So a lot of what we're doing, this is Teresa Dudley, a lot of what we're doing right now is gathering information. And I want to share with you that this is a historic pandemic that has rocked our school system to the core by shutting it down completely and causing us to redirect. It is even of a more historical significance that now that we have demonstrated that we can at least move towards distance learning, that in the future, distance learning is going to be expected when there are emergencies, when there are school closures. So we want to get it right and make sure that we gather your feedback from this, all of your questions that I see in front of me on this prompt. All of these questions are being recorded, and they will be submitted to management, and we will have a fact sheet on our Corona COVID-19 distance learning page on PGCEA at pgcea.org. If you did not get an opportunity to ask your question tonight, and we'll take a couple of more questions in a moment, you can submit them to contacts@pgcea.org. And what we're doing is we're looking at all of the questions, and we are categorizing them and answering them and putting them up on our webpage for you to get the answer. If you feel that it is of an urgent nature that you speak to someone, the beautiful part about it is that PGCEA staff is still working remotely for their safety. And Lauren, our receptionist, will answer your calls live between 9 and 5 p.m. However, she will do is she will have to give you information on how to contact that correct person. But I think that's much better than having an answering machine and you not knowing who to find. So we are working during the day. I'm working every day. How many months in your contract today? We have 95% 10-month employees, 2% 11-month employees, and 3% are 12-month employees. Christy.
Yes,
I had a question about how do we codify some of this distance learning in our contract?
Obviously that would ultimately have to be done through negotiations. In the meantime, there's lots of different ways that you can codify those agreements that are reached throughout this process, whether it's through a memorandum of understanding or through these constant conversations, because I think as we get up and get this ball rolling with distance learning, it's constant conversations, just like you've got commitments to have those constant conversations there with your administration. And ultimately, hopefully, those primary principles will be incorporated into the collective bargaining agreement so that in certain circumstances, distance learning could be implemented, hopefully on a short-term basis, not a long-term basis like what we have now.
Okay, terrific. I do want to go to a caller. Tia, is Tia on the line? I understand Tia has a question about leave and maternity leave. She's probably going to deal with the baby. Tia?
I'm looking for her. We're on the list, is she?
Okay, well, if she's not on the call, congratulations, Tia. I guess she had a baby.
Oh, here she is.
All right.
She's unmuted.
Okay. Tia? Tia? Tia Keenan-Dunn? She's not there.
All right, we'll go to our next caller.
Okay, all right, great. Let's see, Wanda Wells, your question about school?
Yes, can you hear me?
I sure can, Wanda. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. My concern is that we are to stay connected to our schools for the length of time as our normal work duty. How do we do that when we have kids who are uncertain about this pandemic just like we are?
I'm not sure if I understand your question, Wanda. Are you saying
okay.
How do we address the
They're telling us to work, for example. For example, my time is from 8:30 to 4. They're telling us we're supposed to be available during those times. I have kids at home. How do I work with them to get them situated and work with the school at the same time? I want their life
Wanda,
to be as normal as possible. Go ahead.
Wanda, I believe I heard Dr. Goldson say and Dr. Coley say that your work day is from 9 until 1. I'm not sure where this 8:30 to 4:30 is coming from. Can you put her back on, people? Wanda?
Yes.
Where are you getting 8:30 to 4:30?
That's what I was told in the beginning.
No. One of the things that the negotiations team did work out with the school system was that we wanted consistent hours for everybody. So that would mean
okay.
It's going to be consistent that everybody works 4 hours from the beginning of their duty day. A significant time period during the day, and you are only supposed to be available from 9 to 1.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Okay, thank you for calling. I'm not going to say the name wrong because he's from Samuel Ogle. I have Akinbulo Olu. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to mess it up. From Samuel Ogle Middle School. Go ahead and say your name for me.
Hello, this is Simi Akinbuluma.
Thank you.
Akinbuluma. Okay, it's okay. Yes, this is Samuel Ogle Middle School. And my question is about technology for teachers because our school, being where we're located, we did not get a laptop refresh. So myself and a lot of colleagues, our laptops are 4+ years old and they're not running properly. They're either moving slowly, camera is not working. Sometimes the mic works, sometimes it doesn't. And with the high level of technology and laptops that we're going to be using in the next coming weeks, we're planning to provide laptops or devices for teachers that need them.
So you were scheduled for a refresh this year, correct?
No, we were not. At least not to my knowledge.
every 3 to 4 years you're supposed to get a refresh. So what I'm going to tell you to do is we need to find out what's happening with your technology. And if you have a problem with your technology, you need to call the help desk and email the help desk so they can create a ticket for you. And
okay.
We have all of these questions that we're going to submit to management, and we will highlight your school, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cyrus, thank you. Cyrus at Bladensburg High School. Vianya?
Vanya,
Cyrus?
Yeah, this is me. Yes.
How you doing? You staying safe?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay, babe. Tell me
I'm staying safe.
Question. Go ahead.
Okay, so my question concerns my students. I have 15 students who are going to fail because of the 180. I have students who, if it were a four-quarter school year and the minimum grade was 240, they would pass. I have students now, because the grade is out of 180, who mathematically cannot pass. What opportunities are there for these kids to make up that work that they would have been able to do in the fourth quarter and pass?
Okay, Cyrus, is Yvonne your first name?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a really important question. We will get that information and make sure we get that back to you. My request is that you also ask your administrator that question, because they need to be able to answer that question, not just for you because you were savvy enough to be on this call, but for every high school educator. So I want to thank the rest of you that took the time to get on this call today. I do want to do a quick poll. How many of you have access to your school max, to all of your needed contacts? Yes is one, no is two. No is two. You can go ahead and answer that if you would like to. I want to thank Ashley and Wynell, Stephanie. I think that's Stephanie Powell, Eric, Amis, and the rest of you for getting on the call and being so patient. We are pretty much out of time for this call. We will. I want to do some Google Hangouts with different groups of our related service providers, and you will hear about that over the next coming week as we put it together, so that I can have real conversations about what is being told to you by your principal. I was listening in on a conversation today, because I happen to live with two teachers, of some of the things that I heard the principal saying, and I said, I know that's not in the documents anywhere. So if there is something that you feel just doesn't feel right, doesn't sound right, and it doesn't make sense, please send that to contacts@pgcea.org. And if you call PGCEA and you get the good number and you call me, I answer the phone. So don't be surprised if I call you or I call you back because I'm on a conference call. I want to thank Joshua Harris and Devin Nixon from our PGCEA staff who helped organize and get me together for this call today. I want to thank our board of directors who voted to approve the funding for this, because these things are not free. All of the questions that we submitted in advance to the administration for this call, the responses that we have will be placed on our PGCEA COVID-19 webpage. So you'll be able to go and look and see all the answers to these questions. The last thing I want to say is this. I saw that several of you are saying that technology is an issue. And if we had 3,000 people on the phone, and I have a large percentage, to me, 5 to 6% is a large percentage of people, because you got to multiply that times the number of children that they serve that do not have internet at their primary residence. So I did have a meeting, a conference call with Verizon this morning, that if you have Verizon, that there is a low-cost hotspot that you can get for your phone. I have the information, and I will post that on our PGCEA website. I'm waiting to hear from Comcast. Let me just say something about Verizon. You'll need to have a PDA or a little, like, Wi-Fi card thing for your laptop, or one of those hotspot things you get for your house. So you'll need to look at that. And, you know, the prices are relatively good. I think it was $20 for a Verizon. I don't know what – I think the Comcast Essential is $9.95, but there are some other things that go along with Comcast that I'm not 100 on, because I have not met with them. I don't want to share their information. But Verizon was very willing to get back to me right away. And if you add the service to your line, the gentleman assured me that they are not looking at whether or not you have an old Verizon bill or not. So how that will work is yet to be determined, some of it. But I just want you to know that we hear you, and that the response that we got from administration, that they are going to turn the hot spots in the schools toward the parking lot, is, let's just say, I don't want to cuss today, okay? So we will get all the information to you. Last thing I want to do is say, please, tell me, send me some email. If you're on the line right now, I want you to tell me something positive that has happened. Has anybody got something positive that they want to say? You can raise your hand if you have something positive that you want to say about this whole experience. Because with everything, we got problems. I want to hear something good. Anybody, somebody said she had a baby. Anything else good? Arnice Williams from Largo High School. Is she on there? Oh, they can't speak. Okay. I just got the thing to wrap it up. So we're going to wrap it up for right now. Send me positive things at contact@pgcea.org. And if you're on Facebook and you want to go to my Facebook site tonight, I'm doing live karaoke parody at 10 o'clock, and we have Mary J. Blige tonight. Last night it was Rick James. Tonight it's Mary J. Blige. I love you. Stay safe. Stay home. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.